put this on.
Okay. So God told Abraham he would be blessed and that he would be made to be a blessing. I don't know if any of you remember a song that became very popular during the pandemic. There was a worship song which was called The Blessing. I think originally it was written by some American worship leaders, and then some British worship leaders put a video together and it went out, and then it went out in many different languages and across the world, The Blessing Song. And the whole focus was about God shining himself on us and being a blessing to us and to our families and to those beyond us. It's a beautiful song and it's got many spiritual truths in it. But as I reflected on Psalm 67, there was also something missing. This beautiful worship song, The Blessing, had a focus on us receiving blessing. What Psalm 67 talks about, it shows us that we are blessed, that we might become a blessing to the nations. In verses 1 and 2, it sums up this sense. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God's blessing came to Israel as a means of blessing the nations. This is one of the great hopes that we see in the scriptures. This past week, I contacted a number of friends that are serving in different places. And one of the great privileges of being involved in missions is that you get to know people from many different parts of the world. And I'm sure that's true of our YWAM friends here and many of you here in this community, because we're so international. So the four friends that I contacted a Brazilian friend, an Iranian brother, a friend from Malaysia, and then a friend from Malawi. So I asked them for their reflections on this psalm. So these are a few extracts of some of the things they said. So first of all, Carlos, who is from Brazil, and he's worked in many different countries in cross-cultural missions and ministry. This is what Carlos said. This beautiful and prophetic psalm is only possible through God's grace. It's grace that brings God's blessing upon us and through us to the nations. It is his grace that makes his light shine upon us, and through it we see his glory. This dear brother called Carlos, he is a missions pastor. He's served in London for 20 years. He served in North Africa and then back in Brazil. And he and his wife are hoping to come back in London. All the children have flown the nest. They've all grown up. They've all left. And his longing is to be a blessing, continue to be a blessing to the nations. So the second story comes from a friend from Malaysia. Her name's May. And May, she's now in her 70s, but she's still going out each week. She goes out to Leicester Square and other parts of the city to give out gospels and to seek to engage with people. She has the heart and passion of an evangelist. And this is what she shared. Something came to, as I asked her to reflect and respond. She thought about a time when she was in Eastern Europe. I don't know, how many of you have heard or read the book God's Smuggler? Have any of you come across this? It's quite an old book now, some of you have read it, but it's a story about a Dutch evangelist called Brother Andrew and how he built a ministry called Open Doors that smuggles Bibles into very difficult places and continues to do that. So this is how May responded, our friend from Malaysia. In closed and difficult countries for the gospel, it's very important to be praising and worshipping outwardly. Daniel in the Old Testament is a good example of this. May then went on to share a story from Eastern Europe when she was visiting a country with a team, a country that at that time was very closed to the gospel. One evening she was worshipping God aloud. God used her worship to touch the lives of some local people. Much later that night, they came into the compound where the team was. They woke up the team leader and they asked for Bibles. And it was a result of how God used May's worshipping and singing. In a similar vein, a number of years ago, I was on a team and we were in Ealing and we were worshipping and praising as a team of internationals, and an Iranian gentleman was passing. He was walking by and he heard, and then he knocked on the door and they asked to come in, and he joined us for that time of worship. Worship is powerful. The third example that I want to give is a brother from Iran called Matthew. Matthew has a heart of compassion to others in need. He had a professional background, and then through different circumstances, he had to leave Iran because of the pressure and threats that were against him. He's now settled in this country. He has status to be here, and he's applying for longer term work. But in these last couple of years, he's volunteered and given time to refugee work and to homeless charities. In his reflection of Psalm 67, he sent me a whole message, and obviously I don't have time to read that, but I'm just going to read an extract from the message that he sent me. And he said, this is the minister who was speaking. We have been created by God for God. We have been blessed by God to bring glory to God and to be known among the nations. To be blessed means to be known by the Lord and to know the Lord. It doesn't mean material possessions. It doesn't mean a favorable position. It doesn't mean health or wealth. It doesn't mean it's to be me-focused. To be blessed is to be known by God and to know the Lord for the purpose of using our gifts to further the gospel and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I thought that was quite beautiful and quite profound. So my last example is a dear brother called Oscar, and he lives in Zambia. Originally he's from Malawi, and he's doing a lot of ministry to prepare people to work in sub-Saharan Africa. So he's bringing Africans from different countries to go up to the north and to work in closed countries. He sent me the longest response, and so I don't have time to read all. I actually wrote back to him and said, let me hear some of your own personal thoughts as well. And so he wrote back a day or two ago, and this is what he shared with me. He said, well, I think for me, salvation among all nations is the key. It reminds me of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and also the book of Revelation chapter 7. This will only happen if we're obedient to the preaching of the gospel to all nations, tribes, and languages. So four reflections. We had a Malawian, an Iranian, a Malaysian, an Iranian. God is at work amongst the nations. I want to read one of the verses that Oscar from Malawi mentioned. He talked about the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures from Revelation that speak of these promises and their fulfillment. So first of all, if we turn to the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 9. I work with an international mission, OM, and one of the joys of being working with the church and with missions is that there are many missions around the world that are working together for God's purposes and for His kingdom. And one network of many missions, hundreds of missions working together, is called Vision 5-9, and it takes that name from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And in this scripture, we have this picture of the living creatures and the elders before God worshipping. And this is what the description that's given to us in verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise." And then if we turn to chapter 7 of Revelation, chapter 7, again, this is verse 9. So this is, some of you may have memorized these scriptures, but chapter 5, verse 9, chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" Amen. These are familiar scriptures, beautiful scriptures for us to be reminded of. At the beginning, I mentioned that there are theologians, missiologists, that see this Psalm 67 as an example that relates very much to Abraham, as God promised Abraham to bless him and that he would be a blessing. So it encapsulates that. And so today, perhaps it's something slightly different. I don't know how often if Andrew ever uses visual illustrations, but I have a visual illustration that I'm going to use. And so I'm going to ask Charles and one of his sons to come up. And I don't know, you can choose one son or the other. I don't know how many sons you have, Charles, but whichever one you would like. So what we have to imagine, and perhaps Charles, you can introduce, what's the name of your son? Your
Jaden.
Okay. So in this picture, Charles is going to represent Abraham, and Jaden is going to represent Abraham's son, Isaac. So we'll give them this cord. So if you'd like to stand apart from one another. So this cord represents their relationship and their ability to communicate, the intimacy of a father and son, or it could be a father and daughter, but that communication and that understanding of one another's needs. And all of us, we know the story of Abraham, in that he and his wife, Sarai, had been waiting for so many years, hadn't they, for that promise and that fulfillment that God will give them a son. And all the things that happened with Hagar, and I won't go into the whole story, but eventually they saw that fulfillment and that blessing, and God blessed them with their first son. And then, of course, in the story, we have God testing Abraham's faith, and God asked Abraham that he would take his son up Mount Moriah. And, it was an act of faith. God had promised Abraham that he would be blessed and that through his offspring they would be a blessing to the nations. And here Abraham was being called to do something which I don't think any parent could ever even conceive or think about. So this is where I need Dan's help in a moment. But come up, Dan. So we have the communication, the intimacy between the father and the son. If you both stay there, but I'm going to take the rope from you a moment. So if you both like to let go. So to represent what was about to happen, that Abraham was asked to take the life of his son, I'm going to have the rope here, and I'm going to ask my brother, Daniel, if he can
Cut it.
Yeah. Okay. So, the relationship between the father and son, God was asking Abraham to take the life of his son, and that he would provide for Abraham. So I'm going to put this here. So you, Dan, you can kindly sit down. That's
ready.
That's okay. So now, if we lose a loved one, they're still very much in our hearts, but we can no longer have that intimacy and contact with them day by day and talk to them. We may be thinking about them, but there is a separation. And so there was about to be a separation between Abraham and his son. But just as Abraham was about to take that knife and to slay, take the life of his son, God told him to stop. And he saw Abraham's faithfulness, and he said, I have provided that your son does not have to die. So this represents the ram that was caught in the bush, in the thicket. And so, if you want to let go, Charles. Thank you, Jayden. So as that ram was put in place of Abraham's son, so his son did not have to die, but that relationship was restored back. And of course, this is central as a picture to what Christ has done for us. And in the psalm that we've read many times over in different languages, and as we heard in the video, that salvation is proclaimed to the nations. When we think about Abraham and his son, we have that beautiful picture represented. And truly, that blessing is being fulfilled. And as we've read in the book of Revelation, will be fulfilled in its completeness, because there will be people from every tribe, every language, every people before the throne. Now, if any of you want to know how to do that trick afterwards, I can show you. There's no secret. I'm happy to show it to you. So, thank you. We can give a round of applause to our... I'd like to close just by reading that's the scripture again that we've heard many times over. But I'll just read it slowly, and I'll ask us to reflect and to think, and perhaps to use it as a form of prayer. And I don't know, perhaps just before I read it, but maybe some of you can call out, we'll make this slightly interactive, call out some of the different nationalities that are neighbours to you on your street. So I'll give my immediate neighbours. So I have Bulgarian, Polish, Indian, Nigerian. So that's a few of my neighbours right next to me. Does anyone else want to engage, so to speak? Does anyone else have some peoples that are their near neighbours from different countries? Anyone like to throw out some countries? Many. Anyone else who'd like to share?
I have Irish, Pakistani, Indian, and Nigerian.
Wonderful.
Also Liberian.
I don't think I've ever met anyone from Liberia. I kind of know where it is, but that's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, one more opportunity. Anyone else? Yeah. Egyptian and Romanian. Superb. Wonderful. Let me read this scripture, and as you hear, it speaks of the nations several times. Salvation to the nations. Think about people that God has put on your heart. I don't know, some churches have prayer focuses where people come together and they pray for friends, neighbors, people that are on their heart. So maybe a particular person will come to your mind that you're going to start to pray more regularly and intercede more regularly for. One final, very short story before I read these verses. So in my ministry, one of the things that I do is go into coffee shops and get to know people and seek to share with them. So in this area, a gentleman from Iraq has just opened a new coffee shop, or in the last couple of months. And I've got to know him, and a few weeks back when I was sitting in the coffee shop with him, and we immediately got into spiritual discussion, we were talking. And he said to me that morning, as he woke up, he felt he wanted to worship God. So he's a Muslim, his name's Sam, he's Muslim, really nice guy. But he said, I just didn't have the words to express worship to God. And that just opened up a beautiful conversation to talk with him. And then I was able to give him an English-Arabic Bible. So just something very, very simple. Let me read these words as a prayer, and then we'll close. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Father God, thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. I thank you for their families, their friends, their acquaintances. Thank you for their works and professions and areas of service and ministry. Lord, bless them in this coming week, in all that they are involved in all that they engage in. Lord, give them soft hearts to hear your spirit. As Jackie Pullen just said, give us soft hearts but hard feet. Lord, lead us, Father, to people that you would have us to speak into their lives, to bless, to encourage. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.